One of the most profound changes in any new CEO's work life is that they report not to a boss, but to a board. And to successfully lead the company, they must establish a constructive working relationship with that board. There are six things any new CEO should consider doing to get that working relationship off to a great start. The timing of these may vary, depending on whether your predecessor continues to serve as chair subsequent to your appointment as CEO. In the United States, where the majority of public company boards continue to combine the roles of chair and CEO, it is common practice for the outgoing CEO to continue to serve as chair for a transitional period at the end of the succession process. This period is much shorter today, typically about a year, than it was a decade ago, and it often helps to smooth the leadership transition. If this is your scenario, it may feel as though your working relationship with the board truly begins only after your predecessor finally exits the boardroom. Indeed, there are certain steps that should probably be deferred until after that occurs. However, four things are worth addressing in your first 6 to 12 months, regardless. These are: 1. Get comfortable with governance issues. 2. Meet individually with every member of your board. 3. Establish the terms of your working relationship with your lead director or non-executive chair. And 4. Review the annual CEO evaluation process that the board will use to assess your performance. 1. Get comfortable with governance issues. Serving on the board of another public company is invaluable experience for any new CEO. If you have not had this opportunity, it will be even more important to spend time on governance at the outset of your tenure as CEO. If possible, it can be useful to undertake some of these items in the 6 or 12 month period preceding your appointment as CEO. Otherwise, be sure to put them on the agenda for your first 6 months. Prestigious business schools and other organizations offer many fine courses on governance. Those at Harvard, Wharton, and Stanford are among the best known. You can ask your corporate secretary to track down course information and agendas to decide if any of these would be worthwhile. Admittedly, it can be difficult for any CEO to make time to attend an outside training session, particularly in the first 6 months of their appointment. Even if you are able to do so, some CEOs find that the classroom environment inhibits them from raising important but often sensitive questions. Others simply feel uncomfortable asking what they perceive to be a dumb question in a forum where other attendees may think, "He doesn't even know that? And he's the CEO of that company?" An alternative approach, or a means of supplementing any governance course you have taken or plan to take, is to design your own governance tutorial. I first became involved in providing individual governance tutorials for incoming CEOs in 2001. They worked so well that I have recommended this approach many times since. The agenda for this session should be tailored to cover topics of greatest interest to you. For example, if you have been hearing about say on pay or the SEC proxy access rule, but are uncertain of their implications, they may be worthwhile topics. If you have gathered agendas for some of the director education courses, you may want to review these and cherry-pick the topics of greatest appeal in designing your own tutorial. The quality of discussion in a governance tutorial differs markedly from what typically occurs in a director education class. In one instance I was involved in, the incoming CEO was particularly concerned about his predecessor's decision to offer a board seat to the company's chief financial officer, CFO, who had been the runner-up in the succession process. The outgoing CEO viewed the board seat as a consolation prize for the CFO, and had convinced the nominating governance committee to go along with the idea. However, the incoming CEO dreaded having his former rival at the board table. Fortunately, the board had not yet informed the CFO of the decision. In addition to providing perspectives to the incoming CEO on this issue, we were also able to provide him with some data on board practices across U.S. companies, which showed that comparatively few CFOs serve as directors on their own company's board, even though most attend board meetings. Thus armed, the incoming CEO addressed the issue that very afternoon and was successful in changing his boss's mind. It's one thing to ramp up your knowledge on governance issues, but quite another to keep it current. If none of the leading governance publications, Directors and Boards, Agenda, Directorship, or Corporate Board Member, have been regularly hitting your in-basket, it's time to take out a subscription or two. Get some copies and see which periodicals you prefer. This will enable you to keep abreast of current governance issues and keep pace with your board members, some of whom are surely reading these publications. Indeed, it is not uncommon for directors to raise the very issues highlighted in these magazines at board meetings. Reading them yourself is a way to keep in front of these issues and enables you to even be proactive in addressing some of them with the board. 2. One-on-one meetings with your board members. Often, a new CEO will have met with board members individually in the final stages of the succession planning process. Then why schedule yet another round of meetings? Because the last round was essentially a series of job interviews with you in the role of applicant. The board's final due diligence before confirming your selection as CEO. Now that you've taken the job, it's time to begin your new working relationship. As Heinz Chair and CEO Bill Johnson explains, this is a very different conversation than one-on-one meetings you may have had with them when they were deciding to name you as CEO. That was the seduction process. Once you've become the CEO, you're into the marriage. You should aim to get these meetings underway in the first month or two after your appointment and to complete them within the first year, 6 months if possible. However, it's critical to take your time with this process rather than rushing through it. One new CEO of a telecommunications firm who received this advice scheduled 30-minute back-to-back meetings with each of his directors the day after his first board meeting. The result was far from what he'd hoped for. Instead of building rapport with the board members, his mechanistic approach alienated them. He clearly had some item on his to-do list involving director meetings, and it felt to us like he just wanted to tick that item off the list as soon as possible, one director complained. He wasn't interested in having a meaningful conversation with any of us. When it was over, everyone began thinking the same thing. If this is how he's dealing with the board, how is he treating the executives and the other people at the company? Before long, there were phone calls going around, with board members wondering aloud if we'd made the right choice in naming him CEO.